This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. A fourth indictment for former President Trump. This one comes from a grand jury in Georgia. Prosecutors say Trump and others joined a conspiracy to unlawfully change the outcome of the election. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis.
I am giving the defendants the opportunity to voluntarily surrender no later than noon on Friday, the 25th day of August, 2023.
CBS's Nicole Killian outside the courthouse in Atlanta.
The sheriff has made clear that he is going to treat the former president and any defendant for that matter just like anyone else, that he will follow the normal practices, as he said, and that could include a mugshot. Now, what is unclear is we don't know where exactly the former president could be processed, if it's here at the courthouse, because typically most people are processed at the Fulton County Jail, which is some distance from here.
Trump's attorneys releasing a statement calling the charges shocking and absurd, saying they look forward to a detailed review of this indictment, which is undoubtedly just as flawed and unconstitutional as this entire process has been. Now to the deadly wildfires in Hawaii. Our Jonathan Vigliotti reports.
There are thousands of people that are currently displaced. Many of them right now are either living in shelters or even in their cars. The Red Cross and FEMA, they have come in and they are going to assist in providing some extra housing for the long term for a lot of these residents. But the governor is also calling on other hotels to step up when the power comes on in areas that have been impacted and don't have power. The governor is asking them to open their doors to some of these residents who are homeless.
And the number of confirmed dead is up to 99. Across the Pacific in Japan, a strong tropical storm. Reporter Lucy Kraft in Tokyo.
The slow-moving land continues paralyzing air, train, and car travel and inundating scores of homes, roads, and at least one shopping center near Kyoto. Winds of up to 70 miles per hour ripped signs off buildings and toppled utility poles and trees.
Well, some parents may say it is the most wonderful time of the year, but it really is super expensive getting the kids back to school. And Catherine Cullen with the National Retail Federation says families will be spending a lot.
Even with inflation and higher prices, we are seeing consumers say they're a little more comfortable spending this year. We know that wages have improved.
And the Retail Federation's predicting spending will hit record highs of about $41.5 billion. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Hi, we're the Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and then the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Jim Troupas, Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well.
Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You've heard the word a lot lately, but what does it mean to be arraigned? The Department of Justice describes it as the first court appearance for someone facing criminal charges. A judge reads those charges, then the accused enters a plea. At the end of an arraignment, a trial date is set, along with bond. And depending on the severity of the charges, the judge can add conditions to take away the defendant's weapons or passport before being released. For Civic Media,
I'm Terry Barr.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, the Fantastico, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Monday, August 14th, 2023. Glad to have you along back in for another start of your work week and, in some cases, getting ready at least to go back to school. Mr. Zommers, how are you?
Glad I'm not going back to school.
Right, exactly. Me too.
But also, I had a very interesting morning. If you've been listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, yes. You heard this. But for those of you who might not be, or if you're tuning into the stream, on my way into work this morning, I was running a little bit late. Normally, I try to be about half an hour early before the show starts in the morning. But this time, it was going to be more like 15, 20 minutes. Yeah. However, on my way downtown, it was still dark out, mind you. There's a crane, as in a construction thing, not a bird.
Not a sandhill crane.
Unless that's a brand of like construction cranes I'm not aware of. Turning around in the middle of the road, just turning around in the dark at 5:45 for 10 minutes.
Good gosh. That's
and
ridiculous.
I was backed in, so I couldn't get out and turn right and find another way. So I got into the studio. Instead of getting there at my normal time of about 5:45, I got in there at 6:03, and we start the show at 6:06.
Did you make it?
I did.
Wow, that's getting her done right there.
I had just gotten my phone out, and I was about to call someone to troubleshoot what we would do if I wasn't make it there, and then I got to start moving, and I was like, okay.
Hey, Mr. Zommer's still a bit shaken up from this, I can tell, but you've recovered nicely. You got Kreitler on the air and everybody else, and everything is fine.
It's also just a fun story.
It is great.
It's so weird.
Yeah, one of those things you did not anticipate at that hour in the morning, of all the things that could delay you, a construction crane turning around, not so much.
Spinning around a giant metal arm in the dark.
That doesn't seem safe to me.
It doesn't seem safe to me either.
I did not have quite such an eventful weekend. I laid low on Friday for those of you, or Saturday rather, those of you who were with us last week, my voice was pretty gravelly and turns out I had a really bad sinus infection. So on some antibiotics, better today, still got a little lemon and honey here in the old CBS cup. But I rested my voice and otherwise on Saturday. And then yesterday you and I were here working a bit on some things for the show and a big week ahead. In Civic Media tomorrow, this program is going to be on location up in Volk Field near Camp Douglas in Juneau County, as we are going to be the guest of the Wisconsin Air National Guard. Brigadier General David May will again be our guest, and we're going to be interviewing several pilots of the Wisconsin Air National Guard. Looking forward to it as the planes will be taking off, or landing and taking off behind us there at Volk Field. Going to be talking about the mission of the men and women of the Wisconsin Air National Guard. And I believe people all from across the country, from the Air Force, going to be in there as well. So be on location. At the same time tomorrow, President Biden is going to be in Wisconsin, down in the Milwaukee area, a week before the Republican debate. And our news director, Terry Bell, and also Mike Kroot, our president and COO, are going to be on location there in Milwaukee. It's probably going to happen about the same time as our show. So we're going to be doing both of these events. We'll be on location at Volk Field, and then we will also cut in and bring you live the remarks and speech of President Joe Biden as he is in town touting, I believe the agenda is either Bidenomics or else the infrastructure bill and the money that's coming into Wisconsin from that. So we'll be covering both of those things simultaneous for you tomorrow on the show. So a big day ahead tomorrow. Equally big today in terms of subjects we're going to discuss. The question for you this afternoon, my friends, do you trust your local election workers? Do you trust your election workers in your own municipality? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can give us a call here on the line, or you can also download the Civic Media app on either your Apple or Android device, and you can text in or call in on the app as well. 844-967-2789. Do you trust your local election workers? 844-967-2789. Here's why I ask you. And we're going to be talking about this. We're going to break it down after we come back from the break here. Over the weekend on the local channel here in Madison, the CBS affiliate, WISC, Channel 3 in Madison. Great program, local community affairs program, For the Record. Now hosted by Naomi Knowles, longtime host. Neil Hyden retired a couple of years ago. Naomi Knowles took that program over. Does a great job. And her guest yesterday on For the Record was the executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party, Mark Jefferson, who you've heard me talk about on this show before. If you're a regular listener, Mark and I are around the same age. We worked in the legislature at the same time. When I worked for State Senator Dale Schultz, he worked for one of Dale's assembly people, the late, great Cheryl Elbers, as her chief of staff. Spent a lot of time together. And I won't go back into the whole story today, but then fast forward a few years when I was running for state assembly the first time, and Jefferson was at the Republican Party of Wisconsin back in 2004, the state party said they're not going to get involved in the race. Well, it turned out they did. So I can tell you what Jefferson is like, and we're going to break down his comments yesterday. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on, along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
There could be pockets of patchy fog out there this morning. Otherwise, becoming mostly sunny and warmer today. We'll get to around 78 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 59. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, warmer and more humid with a high of 85. And there could be a few stronger thunderstorms late tomorrow into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
the Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network across the state of Wisconsin. It is now 15 past the hour, 1 o'clock. Mr. Aaron Zomer is our producer and engineer. Question for you on this Monday afternoon. Do you trust your local election workers? Do you know who those people are? who they basically are comprised of? They're your friends and neighbors you go to church with. You see them at the baseball game or the softball game. You see them at the county fair. You see them when you eat at your local Culver's, your local family restaurant. You know your local election workers, or at least you recognize them probably when you go to the polls. They're retired teachers. They're retired firefighters. Some of them are stay-at-home moms and dads that get paid. And believe me, that the pay for election workers, by and large, it's usually like a couple of $100 for the day, if that. Nobody's getting rich being an election worker. Election workers are not brought in from other places. The local clerk, the town clerk, the city clerk, the village clerk, they're in charge of hiring and rounding up election workers in your local community, in our local communities. And that's who administers our elections in the state of Wisconsin at a local level. Do you trust those people? The reason I'm asking, because we're going to break down the executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party, Mark Jefferson, was on For the Record here in Madison on WISC Channel 3. And the main question they start off with, we're going to play it in a minute. The question was, why is the Republican Party getting involved in a new lawsuit being brought before the newly now liberal majority Supreme Court in Wisconsin? Because remember, drop boxes, those things that look like a mailbox, but they're actually controlled by the city clerk or the town clerk or village clerk, and they're secured and they're locked. It used to be that Wisconsin, you could use those, but there was a lawsuit by conservatives when there was a conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court, and the conservative court said, no, that's illegal. And so they banned them. Now there's a more Democratic-leading group bringing a lawsuit before the new liberal Supreme Court in Wisconsin, asking for that to be reconsidered and perhaps reversed. Well, Republican Party Wisconsin, a little nervous about this. So they're injecting themselves. And remember this. In the United States of America, there are only 11 states that ban drop boxes, all right? You go to places like Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana. Drop boxes, perfectly legal. Those are not blue states, right? Even Florida, under Ron DeSantis, allows limited drop boxes. But Republicans say, nope, they don't trust election workers. And they want to inject themselves into this race. What do you think? Do you trust your local elected officials? 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Do you trust your local election official?
And we also got a few texts on the app. You can text us on the Civic Media app. And we got a couple of texts from Matt, who says, I trust them, but I'm a chief election inspector, so probably not an unbiased view. And I'm also not retired or stay at home. I work a full-time job and take a vacation day to do it. So he's saying, stop stereotyping all these people. Like, not everybody is old and retired.
So. And that's a great point. I appreciate Matt telling us that from WAUK. I think that's absolutely right. There are people that literally take a vacation day to go do that. It's a public service. So it's not all retired people. That's a fair comment. Also, Jeff and Shorewood said, we'll skip that one for right now.
Right. We'll address it soon.
We'll address that later. But, I mean, that's great to have an election official saying that he certainly trusts. He's an inspector, right? But what do you think? Let's go to Gene in Sun Prairie. Gene, thanks for holding and being on the air with us. Gene, what say you?
Well, you covered all the talking points, and you're 100% right. But I, too, of course, 100% trust my poll workers. And I also am a poll worker for at least 20 years, maybe 25. And here in Sun Prairie, we get the ultimate in training. We have to swear and take an oath of office and to ensure that it is a fair election and that everything is on the up and up. And also at the end of the night, I've been there till 3 a.m. because we cannot go home until everything is accounted for and reconciled. And so I say to people that are doubters, be a poll worker.
Right.
Come experience how wonderful it is to be part of the election and ensure that it is fair.
And Gene, as succinctly as you can without going into all the details, but just kind of walk people through, as a poll worker, all of the different steps that are taken to ensure, just kind of at a 30,000 foot level, all the different steps to ensure the integrity of our elections. And this is replicated at each polling booth.
Right. Well, first and foremost, we have to take extensive training on the procedures and what's allowed and what's not, what's an acceptable ID. And we know we don't make it obvious to every person that comes in to vote, but we know what is acceptable. And that's one thing. And of course, people have to sign their names, so there's no voting more than one time. Mm-hmm. And if there are any discrepancies, like somebody makes an error on a vote, that's ripped up and accounted for, and then they can refill it out. We also, if we have any questions, it gets sorted out. Mm-hmm. All the absentees are counted together in a separate way.
That's what I want to, if I can interrupt just for a second, I wanted to make sure I reiterated that point. The absentee ballots mm-hmm. are kept under lock and key by the clerk, correct? Until the election day.
You bet they are.
And then on election day, they are counted, in a separate, I'll use my term, a separate pile or separate box. And again, there's at least two people witnessing and counting those together, correct?
Exactly. And on a separate machine.
Right.
So, and we do that continually through the day.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's there's so much oversight. It just burns me when I hear people talking about the elections that are fake and they're not valid and everything. And that's why I say, come and work. It's so much fun.
It is.
And those drop boxes, they were a godsend because that was during the pandemic when we were trying to have an election and figure out how to get people to the polls. And I'll tell you, I worked curbside and I had so much fun that year. Because we had the National Guard there, we had the fire department there. I mean, this does not happen behind the scenes. This happens in full view of a lot of people. So
and there's
I
no
say,
difference.
Come and work the polls.
And there's no difference, Gene, am I correct or not? There's no difference if you mail it or you put it in a drop box because you still have to do all the things required for an absentee ballot. It still has to be signed correctly. And it's just a matter of an easier way for collection for folks.
Right. And frankly, you know this too. This is just a concerted effort to deny people the right to vote.
Right.
So trying to make it harder and harder and harder all the time, which is really so sad. And, the election, I think 2020, that was deemed the safest, fairest election in the history of our country.
You're 100% right.
And people went to great strides to make sure that it was that way.
Yep.
We don't want an appearance that something sneaky is going on.
Right. Gene, I couldn't have lined this interview up if we had tried any better. I appreciate you listening and calling in. I appreciate you giving us, no, I'm serious, and sharing from a real poll worker's perspective. This has been fantastic. We're going to play some of this interview. We're going to break it down. I'm going to explain what the Republican Party of Wisconsin is doing to undermine what you're doing and sow doubt. And you just proved, even before mm-hmm. we do it, why almost everything mm-hmm. The executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party is saying is just bunk. It's just bunk, and you've laid it out. So thank you, everything. We appreciate what you
and
do.
I have to say, too, that I worked in the legislature for 10 years, and I staffed the elections committee on the assembly.
Sure.
I know what I'm doing.
You know what you're doing. Gene, appreciate you in Sun Prairie. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to us on WMDX.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Let's go up to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, we appreciate you holding. What say you, sir?
Well, for the last 2 years, I have been at each one of the elections as an election observer for the League of Women Voters. Obviously, I'm not a woman, but in any case, it's a great organization, and I've watched how professionally these people behave at every stage of the election, whether the chief poll worker, and I forget what the exact name is, but he comes in and he explains all the rules. Regular poll worker people are very familiar. They're very careful about following all those rules. I mean, anybody that says that there's any issue with the poll workers doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And they're forced to do what I think is absolutely ridiculous things. I saw a couple of elections now. I saw a person come in and try to submit, it was a woman in both cases, and try to submit her absentee ballot, and that was accepted. And then she tried to submit her husband's absentee ballot.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the craziness in our Wisconsin State Supreme Court, I believe, made this determination that unless you're disabled, you have to bring that ballot in yourself, or you have to mail it yourself.
Right.
You cannot have somebody else do it for you. That's absolutely ridiculous, and especially when you're trying to submit your spouse. But right. The poll worker followed the rules and said, no, we can accept yours, and then asked about the husband, and is he disabled? And he wasn't.
Right.
And so they would not accept his ballot.
Jack, appreciate you calling in. Really a great insight there. Always appreciate you calling. Thanks for listening, Jack, up there at Merrimack. Let's go quickly to Mark in the SAC. Mark, got about a minute or so before the break, minute and a half. It's all yours. What say you?
Yeah, I really trust my poll workers. And in fact, and my county clerk, because when I voted in the last presidential election, I voted absentee in person. What I did is sign off on, she actually signed my envelope for me. And then took it in hand and put it in whatever box she had behind the counter there. But I mean, that's just ridiculous. You can't. They're not able to have a box there for you to put it in. I mean, it is just a locked box to put it in. I mean, it's just
right.
You put it in a mailbox, for goodness sake. I actually looked up the oath, official oath that election officials would take, and they say they will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin, and will faithfully discharge the duties of said office to the best of my ability. And it seems to me that the Republican Party head you were referring to is just a mentula magna, and that's Latin for something, but it is just he's challenged in that aspect probably, but I mean, it just, these guys are just ridiculous. I mean, that.
Well, hang on, Mark. Appreciate you calling, Mark. Mark from the SAC, really appreciate your call. We're going to come back. We're going to hear from Mark Jefferson, the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, what he said on For the Record this weekend, and break it down for you, plus more calls. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News special report. Shocking and absurd. That's what former President Trump's attorneys called the latest indictment from a grand jury in Georgia. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis.
Specifically, the indictment brings felony charges against Donald John Trump, Rudolph William Louis Giuliani.
This case is different, says law professor Lori Levinson.
Those are counts where Donald Trump won't be able to control what happens if he's convicted, even if he is elected president, because he won't be able to pardon himself from any state charges.
So how long will this case take?
Every defendant gets to file motions and argue motions. Every defendant gets to have his or her lawyer go forward to question prospective jurors.
That's legal analyst Ricky Kleeman. CBS News special report. I'm Stacey Lynn.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tallable Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 1:33 on the time and temperature sign. Welcome back. You're listening to us on our many stations across the statewide network over the radio, or whether you are streaming us either on Twitter, on Facebook, or now on YouTube as well. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer on the board. Welcome you back. If you're on the phones, have a couple of people waiting on the lines, just be patient. I will get to you. And if you want to call in, we welcome your calls as well. 844-967-2789. Do you trust your local election poll workers in your community? 844-967-2789. Either give us a call or on the app. Again, bear with us. Going to have to hold for just a bit because I want to break down over the weekend the executive director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Mark Jefferson, somebody I know well as a former Republican, was on the broadcast with host Naomi Knowles on WISC TV Channel 3 here in Madison. And the main thrust of this was, why is the Republican Party of Wisconsin getting involved in court cases to reconsider allowing drop boxes in Wisconsin? And we're going to pick up the interview just as I believe Mr. Zommer is, just as host Naomi Knowles is about to ask Mr. Jefferson the first question. Let's play this and we'll stop it here. I'll break this down and fact check. Let's start it up.
So let's start with that big question. Why get involved with this lawsuit?
Well, the Republican Party has a lot at stake with this. Our chairman, Brian Schimming, has made it a big priority to push the early vote and absentee voting to voters throughout Wisconsin on the Republican side. We have not utilized that opportunity to the maximum effect over the years. We've done some efforts there, but we really need to take it to the next level. He's made the case repeatedly that we can't go into Election Day down hundreds of thousands of votes and expect to make that up in 13 hours.
All right, let's stop right there. First point, the reason that they have not utilized early voting is because the Republican Party of Wisconsin and Republicans in general have told their people, their voters, not to vote early, including former Governor Scott Walker, who tweeted out ad nauseum, don't do it. Go to the polls. Don't vote early. Because they were trying to tell their people that voting early was somehow going to rig the election. So they were all against voting early. That's the only reason that more Democratic voters voted early, because the leadership told Republicans not to vote early. Now, look, as Joe Biden says, I'm glad that there's some conversion going on. All converts welcome. And I applaud, sincerely, I applaud Brian Schimming and state Republicans for saying, you know what? We now have faith in early voting and we want the playing field to be level. And I'm all for that. See, I'm not against anybody voting early, whether they're going to vote the same way I do or not. I think that all of us, the more people that vote legally, the more happy I am. The more participation in democracy, the happier I am.
And if we're not going to make voting like federal or state holidays, we should allow people to vote early so they can actually vote.
Have as many opportunities. Remember, Dwight Eisenhower, former Republican president, was the one that helped lower the voting age to 18 to get more people involved. Go ahead, Mr. Somers, with this interview with Mark Jefferson.
Well, we're very concerned about this case because it changes a lot of the dynamics about how we would go about that. And one of the biggest things it does is it destabilizes people's confidence in the system. If we get rid of even common sense protections so that people can feel secure that their early vote is being handled properly, if we get rid of any confidence that people have, you're going to see people not taking part in it. They're not going to want to vote early. And really, that's its own form of voter suppression. So we want to stomp that out. We want to have basic protection so that people can feel confident when they're voting early, that their vote's going to count, that people are going to handle ballots properly, and that they can feel good about the results.
All right, stop right there. And Naomi is going to ask a great follow-up question. But before she does, again, I want to point out that there have been no cases in Wisconsin that I'm aware of, at least any sort of major cases of voter fraud in this state. Just doesn't exist. If you're a regular listener to this program, I've told you before that when I was working for State Senator Dale Schultz in the legislature, we did our own investigation in 2011, 2012 of voter fraud. We came up with two cases we could confirm. One was a Republican staffer who voted in Madison and in her hometown up north. The other was the estranged wife of Speaker Robin Voss, who voted in Racine and then back in Idaho because she had separated from Voss. Got expunged, by the way, by the Racine Republican DA. When I asked Glenn Grothman after I left the legislature in 2016, and I had made these comments in a federal trial under oath of what I had witnessed in a closed door caucus. By the way, no Republican has ever challenged me on that. When I under oath said what I had recounted what I have seen of voter suppression efforts by Republicans, Glenn Grothman called me up and said, I think you misremembered. I said, no, Glenn, I didn't. I said, Glenn, what evidence do you have of voter fraud? And he said, well, we think it happens. There's no evidence, all right? And so this whole idea that Mark Jefferson and the state Republicans are trying to put out there that they're somehow fraudulent things that undermines the integrity and people don't want to go to vote. The only people who are doing that are Republicans who have no evidence. Go ahead.
Feel good about the results.
Do you believe there's any safe way or secure way then, in your view, to use drop boxes with absentee ballots?
I think over time it can be looked at, but the problem we've seen with the drop boxes so far is it's made kind of a bad reputation for itself already because it doesn't have the same type of protections that really even the mail has. I know people talk about problems with the mail, but there are federal regulations in place for anyone who tampers with the mail. Those laws do get enforced, but we've seen time and again where election officials don't necessarily enforce the law when it comes to protecting the ballot.
Stop right. Thank you, Mrs. Albers. Mark, who are you talking about? What local elected officials are tampering or messing up with ballots? You know where Mark's from? Beautiful Adams County. Adams Friendship. Very proud of it. Great, beautiful area to vacation in. Great place to live. I believe it covers Adams County. It's partly covered by our station in Wisconsin Rapids. Does Mark Jefferson not trust the great folks, the election workers back at Adams? Or is it Richland County? Or is it Green Bay? Oh, no, no, wait, wait. He's talking about Dane County, Milwaukee County. He must be talking about Cottage Grove and Dane County. Oh, wait. He's not. He's talking about Madison and Milwaukee.
If he can name one actual instance and provide evidence, I'll go lick a cat, which I'm allergic to.
You better be careful because, I always want to leave myself, there may be one instance or a handful of instances where someone, you know, it did something. I'm not going to say
it never
happened.
Well, they haven't been able to present it yet, so.
Right. But my point is that even Mike Pence last week on Face the Nation, not yesterday, but week before, when asked by Major Garrett, even Mike Pence now says there was not any sort of election fraud or trouble that would have swung the election. And by the way, this whole thing that drop boxes are not as secure as the mailbox, they're basically the exact same thing as a mailbox. And again, Jefferson is wrong. He knows it. He's lying to you. There are federal laws. You can't tamper with the mail. Guess what? There's also federal laws and state laws that you cannot tamper with an absentee ballot. It's just factually incorrect, and Jefferson knows it. Jefferson is not a dumb person. He's a smart dude. But the point is, he knows this, and they're trying to create a narrative. Go ahead.
And so if we put these drop boxes in place, which the law clearly does not allow, we do a couple things. One, we destabilize people's confidence in it because they're not necessarily as secure as people think. And two, it would take a court order basically making up its own laws. Now you've got a court system that is a second branch of the legislature, essentially, its own lawmaking branch. And it, at a time when we have a real crisis in confidence in our institutions, that takes it yet another step in the wrong
all right,
direction.
Stop that. You keep saying this. There's a crisis of confidence in our institutions. No. No, Mark, there isn't. The Republican Party is trying to create one to try to make us all think that somehow our elections aren't stable and cause doubt. That's what this is about. And by the way, his whole point on drop boxes are illegal? Really? Because there's only 11 states in the entire country that don't allow drop boxes, and Wisconsin is one of them, along with places like Louisiana, Mississippi, South Carolina, Arkansas, Tennessee, West Virginia. 11 states outlaw drop boxes. All the rest are either fully accessible or have some kind of restriction. Florida, Georgia, Ohio, Indiana, and Iowa use them under some form of restriction. Places like Nebraska, Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Idaho, all use drop boxes. So again, Jefferson is ginning this up. The Republican Party is ginning this up to make us try to believe something that's untrue to get in our minds there's a problem, of which there isn't. Go ahead.
You've mentioned a lot they have a bad Dropboxes have a bad reputation. But I have to ask, that bad reputation, conservatives have targeted Dropboxes without necessarily evidence that they are actually insecure or have led to mass issues with absentee voting. I mean, a lot of that bad reputation has come from Republicans and conservatives in the 2020 election with accusations about voting that have been found by courts and multiple investigations to not have any evidence.
There have been a lot of accusations from both sides of the aisle over the years.
Stop right there. Really? Both sides of the aisle?
No.
I haven't heard Democrats say there's a problem with Dropboxes, Mark. That was a great follow-up question by Naomi Knowles. If you watch this, the video, Jefferson starts getting sweaty on the upper lip, gets a little shaky. He must be a terrible poker player because he has a tell. He knows he's caught. Now he's trying to spin his way out of it. Go ahead.
About our elections. That's true. But the fact is these Dropboxes were put in place without any legal ability to do so. People were just suspending any regulations and saying, well, we have a pandemic, so we need Dropboxes. We're going to have them. Well, the law didn't allow it. And the judges looked at the law and said, yeah, this may be a great idea. Maybe it's not. But the law doesn't allow it, so you can't have it. So we're really starting a slippery slope here where we're just making changes to the law based on what we want it to be, rather than follow the proper procedures, which is have a bill go through the legislature, have it signed by the governor, and then you have a law change. You don't just do whatever you want when it comes to election integrity and carrying out election law.
Again, he didn't even answer the question. And the point is that Wisconsin is now one of only 11 states that doesn't allow drop boxes. All right? So it was a conservative court controlled by partisan judges on the right that did this as a favor for Republicans in the legislature. Now we have a Supreme Court, a 4-3 liberal majority, that I would argue is actually going to apply the law as it is written, just like all these other states, including Florida, that allow a form of drop boxes. Now, the Republicans will argue, oh, now we're going to partisize it on the left. Well, they could say that. But I believe that people like Janet Protasiewicz are actually going to apply the law as it was written. Go ahead.
Case, would Republicans back a law change to allow drop boxes in Wisconsin?
Potentially, but I think we need a little bit more study on that. What type of cameras are we going to have? How often will those be watched? Will there actually be enforcement when there are problems, or will people look the other way? We've seen time and again where the laws aren't necessarily followed in this state when it comes to indefinite confinement. When Madison did Democracy in the Park, which the courts have now said was not appropriate, and they say they're not going to do
right,
it again.
Democracy in the Park. Oh, having election workers from the city clerk's office go with Madison police with them to a park to allow people to vote absentee. More people legally voting. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. The only person it's terrible for is the Republican Party of Wisconsin because their ideas don't sell. Jefferson knows this. Their ideas don't sell. This is the only shot they got. Don't go anywhere. Your calls after this on the Todd Almost Show. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
There could be pockets of patchy fog out there this morning. Otherwise, becoming mostly sunny and warmer today. We'll get to around 78 for a high this afternoon. The wind west at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, down to 59. Tomorrow, sunny, breezy, warmer and more humid with a high of 85. And there could be a few stronger thunderstorms late tomorrow into tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 50.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead. And having fun doing it. Welcome back to Tom Allball Show across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app worldwide. Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer engineer. It is now 10 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, talking about voting integrity. And do you trust your local election worker, the person that you see at your polling place, probably somebody you know, or at least regularly see when you vote, do you trust that individual? 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Call in on the line or dial us or text on the Civic Media app, 844-967-2789. We go to the phone lines. Andrew down in Waukesha, listening in on WAUK, the Shaw. Andrew, we thank you so much for holding, letting us get that interview out there. I want to get that out for people to hear. I'll give you the floor. What say you?
Yeah, no worries. Thanks for taking my call. So let me just preface this by saying I was a chief elections inspector when I was 18 years old, and I worked in the city of Waukesha for the 2000 election. So I have some experience with the election process, having worked it. I've also run for office, and let me tell you a personal story. The last time I ran for Waukesha County Supervisor 2 years ago, the poll results said that I lost. And yet 2 weeks later, I received a letter from Tony Evers' office congratulating me for my win. Now, Wisconsin Right Now actually wrote an article about that. They published pictures of the letter. You can go and take a look at it. I've never gotten an explanation as to what happened. Why am I receiving a letter congratulating me for a win when the poll results showed that I lost? Now, forget about that for a second because there are no answers for that.
No, because I guess a great point. I just want to address it quickly. I can tell you exactly. I don't work in their office. I can't tell you exactly. I can tell you how it probably happened as someone who is a long time former staffer in the Capitol. What happens is you get a list of everybody who ran for office on the ballot. And so for a state senator, what your boss wants to do is they want to send out letters either congratulating you on the win or congratulating you on having been a candidate. That's put into a database. You generate a template letter and your boss signs them all and they go out the door. So my guess is you got your name got on the wrong template letter and it got sent out like that. That's my guess, but go ahead.
Well, let's take that example, though. First of all, it shouldn't be acceptable. It may be a mistake, but it shouldn't be. It should be resolved. It should be rectified. If there's a problem, we should figure out a way to make sure that it can never happen again. And from my point of view, as somebody that cares deeply about election integrity, there actually isn't any priority put on election security and making it better. We can have reasonable debates about whether certain processes and mechanisms for voting are fair or unfair. But when there are obvious problems like Janelle Branchon being set fake absentee military ballots by the clerk of elections in the city of Milwaukee, who is being prosecuted for that, we should ask ourselves, how do we prevent that from ever happening again? And we don't.
Well, again, I think that I'm all for election integrity. My feeling is that was a setup job by her to try to get this, to get publicity. And it's, you know, somebody made a mistake in there. But I go back to one of the same thing I asked Glenn Grossman back in 2016. I said, Glenn, what evidence do you have of widespread election fraud in this state? And he said, we think it's happening. Now, the case that you give me, the letter from Governor Evers congratulating you on the win, based on my experience, senators and governors do the same thing. Like every university, it's public record. When someone gets accepted into a university, That's public record. So if you do an open records request, you get a list of all the students, and then an intern takes a highlighter. Now they probably do it on a computer, but they highlight all the people in your Senate district who are admitted to UW-Madison. And you send them a template letter from their state senator congratulating them on getting into UW-Madison. So I don't believe that in your example, I wouldn't say that's election fraud. I think that's just an intern error of the governor's office on a mailing error.
Oh, no. Well, this isn't about, you weren't asking about election and fraud. You were asking about trust.
Sure.
Let me give you another personal story, right? I ran for Milwaukee County Supervisor against Theo Lipscomb up in the North Shore, okay? I stood there in a Brown Deer voting ward with Theo's dad at poll close while the election worker sat in a dark corner and reconstructed ballots, absentee ballots that weren't running through the machine. Now, this is not a partisan issue. Theo's dad and I were on different sides of the outcome, and yet we both were disgusted at the fact that there was no accountability, no way for us to go to that table, make sure everything was happening fine. So again, there are some serious problems with the way we hold elections. Trust but verify. That's what Reagan used to say. I think that's pretty reasonable.
Well, I can't. You're certainly entitled to how you feel about elections. Yeah, that's what we're asking. Do you trust? So you're saying that you don't trust the place that you vote at now, you don't trust election workers. Is that accurate?
It's funny. I find that this whole argument about trust falls apart once people like myself that advocate for single-day paper ballot-only elections that should be hand-counted in a partisan manner, all of a sudden we don't trust election workers to run those elections.
I trust. I mean, I used to vote back in Bloom Township, and that's the way we voted, with a pencil and a piece of paper. I trusted them just fine.
That's the way we should be doing it.
I trust them just fine to do that. I think to my co-host Aaron Zomer's point earlier, if we're not giving people a legal day off or time off to go and vote, paid time off, then we should have. It was a Republican thing. Dwight Eisenhower lowered the voting age, wanted more people to vote. I think more voting, whether you vote for the same person I do or not, is a good thing. I think we should be making it easier for people to vote.
I'm no fan of Mark Jefferson. These guys talk out of both sides of their mouth, and they don't have a cogent argument to make. So, you know,
I agree with you on that.
Their message sucks,
yeah.
Okay? But the fact is, there is a cogent argument to be made about what is an election. How should it be run? How do we verify the results? And those all get swept under the rug by both sides, because for them, all that matters is whether your guy won.
But I think, in my opinion, just my opinion, I think that you seem angry. You believe that there truly is a problem with election integrity. I'm just saying, as someone who spent a lot of time as a candidate, running candidates, working in poll place, I mean, all those things, I've never seen that. I don't find any evidence to it. And again, if it was widespread and truly a problem, I would have faith in our justice system, our district attorneys, both Republicans and Democrats across the state, bringing those cases to court. And they just aren't there.
Again, you look at, there's a corollary to absentee balloting, which happened in Congress because of COVID, called proxy voting. Okay, Nancy Pelosi changed the House rules to allow reps to vote without being on the floor. That's unconstitutional. That's not a democracy.
Now you're talking about voting in Congress, which is entirely different than voting our local poll workers. That's completely different. But I get your point. I appreciate your call, Andrew. Thank you very much. Appreciate you calling it. Andrew from Waukesha. I mean, I get it. He's upset with it, but he may have witnessed a couple of things that he didn't like or found disturbing. But my point is, if this was going on across the state, if there were truly problems, I believe in the justice system to bring those charges. We'd hear about court cases. We'd hear about, major. We just don't hear about that.
And I do agree with him on the front of transparency that if they goofed up and sent in the wrong thing, they should have been like, yep, sorry, we goofed up.
Yeah,
and
the thing from Evers' office, again, it's a summer intern project. It has nothing to do with actual voting. It's just trying to thank people that ran. I mean, I get it. I get it. But it's just, it's blown out of proportion, in my opinion. But we appreciate the call. We'll come back, more of your calls, and we'll talk a little bit about the rating of a newspaper in Kansas and why it's important in Wisconsin. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.